The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
All right, before we start the podcast, I want to give the website travelwithhawkeye.net. You're going to want to go there multiple times during this podcast. You're going to want to go to the blog, click on the blog, because we have a section called Rome Uncovered, and every single thing we talk about is going to be in the blog this week. And I spent a lot of time on it, more than I've ever on any blog post, so it's rather extensive. Photos of all sorts of things we talk about under the section Rome Uncovered. Check it out. And before we meet our special guest, who's going to join us on our discussion of Rome today, a little clip from the Gregory Peck, Audrey Hepburn movie, Roman Holiday.
First wish, one sidewalk cafe coming right up.
So I asked my coworker, Michelle Rodriguez, you know her at Mishrod on Twitter, because to be on the podcast this week, because she went to Rome just a couple years ago with her parents.
Right.
And so I got the idea to take my parents to Rome from her. Unfortunately, my parents live in Florida, and Hurricane Irma canceled all flights out of Florida. So they could not go. They could not leave. So it's just my wife and I went. But I had what I will term as probably the vacation of a lifetime. So I wanted to kind of share my vacation with you folks and also with Michelle. I want to kind of compare things. Now, I will say this. Two people could go to Rome for a week, and they might do totally different things.
Yeah, you've been telling me about stuff that I totally missed out on.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Like the mouth hand thing?
Oh, yes. The mouth of truth. Yes.
That's what it is. Where was that at?
Okay. So let me tell people what we're talking about. And we're just going to kind of ramble here. So join in on the conversation. I learned about this from this Gregory Peck, Audrey Hepburn movie, Roman Holiday. There's a famous scene. And here's a little clip of it.
The mouth of truth. The legend is that if you're given to lying, you put your hand in there, it'll be bitten off.
Oh, a hard idea.
Let's see you do it.
So this is a church. It is not far from the Roman Colosseum. It's between the Colosseum and the river. It's a small church, and they have on the wall there this, as you heard from the movie, this like it's a face, and you stick your hand in there, and if you're a liar, supposedly, legend has it, that'll bite your hand up. There's a whole line of people. It's hilarious because there's a whole line of people trying to get a picture there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's like an old Italian man, I guess works for the church, who just is trying to speed up the line. And he's like yelling, next, next, next.
In English?
Yes, in English. Yelling next to people trying to get them to hurry up, take their picture, and move the line along. Because some people, you know, they're taking four or five pictures.
Mouth never moved, right?
Well, not for me, it didn't, because I'm not a liar. But yeah, so that's the famous mouth of truth, or I think it's there's a name for it. Bocca de Verita. Bocca della Verita is the name in Italy.
Verita is verdad, truth, yeah.
Yeah, in Spanish, yeah. And it's at the Santa Maria Church, just right by the river.
How did you learn about it?
From that movie, Roman Holiday. I saw it, and then I looked it up where it was. And I couldn't, it was really hard because, you know, the streets are narrow. And,
yeah.
And it wasn't really on a map. I couldn't find it on the map. So I had to ask someone. It was one of the few people I met who didn't speak any English. And they were like, they didn't know what I was talking about. And I was like, mouth of truth. I'm sticking my hand in their mouth. They're looking at me like, and then I finally remembered that, oh, Bocca della Verita. And it was like a block from it.
Okay. So in relation to the holy steps the Scala Santa that you went up, where was that? Because I had to find out about that place asking about it from people on my way over there too.
First of all, I had an incredible map. Okay,
where'd you get this from?
the person that we stayed with, the person who had the Airbnb, she had an incredible map, and it was just a tourist map. So do you know, did you find Circus Maximus, the chariot guy?
Yes.
Okay. If you went to Circus Maximus, it was actually across the street from there, but the building was really large. It was on the church, the back face Circus Maximus. You had to walk to the other side.
This is what amazes me. You can walk through Rome and everything has a significance. There's something there. There's so much history. You miss out on it if you don't know that it's there.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. And like every block, there's a surprise. There's a church that has something in it that's amazing, you know.
History to it.
Yeah.
And there's a story, and you probably have seen it in some movie because you saw something else in a movie. What was it that I saw you post on Instagram?
Oh, what was it? Something.
But the shame of it is, there, like you said, you'll go into a building. Like, we went to this one church. It was St. Ignatius de Loyola.
Okay.
Santa Ignatius. And if you ever heard of Loyola University, it's named after that saint.
Wow.
And if you ever heard of Gonzaga University in Washington State, he was buried in that church. And what I didn't know, though, they had a very elaborate ceiling. And I didn't know this till I got back. And I read it in Atlas Obscura, by the way. The ceiling was all painted. It was beautiful. But they didn't have enough money to put a huge dome. So they painted fake domes that look like domes in the roof.
Whoa. Yeah. And, of course, it looks perfect because it's in Italy.
Yes, exactly. Because you know that ceilings sometimes are elaborate. So an elaborate fake dome is painted up there, and most people don't realize it's not a real dome. It only looks that way when you're looking up.
Wow.
I didn't know that till I got back. Like, oh, yeah. I would have gone back in there.
You know
look.
What? That happened to me when I got back to the hotel after I visited the Vatican the first time. First of all, how many times did you go to the Vatican?
3 times.
Yes, because there's stuff that you miss.
Yes.
There's too much to see just in one day. That's why it's great that you took a whole week just for Rome itself.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that. A lot of people said, I was told, oh, you can't spend a whole week in Rome. You'll go crazy. I loved it. In fact, we canceled plans to go up to the coast because there was more stuff we wanted to see in Rome.
Wow. And the coast is beautiful from what I've seen. But, I mean, it's just another reason to go back.
Okay, so why did you spend three? What did you go to the Vatican for?
I missed La Pietà.
Oh, my, how did you miss that? You did not know the significance.
I didn't know it was there. And I saw a lot. You know how it crowds. So yeah. I did not see it. I was in there the first time and took the tour. And then.
The tour didn't stop?
No. Just a tour of on my own of everything that was there. But I was like, oh, you know, there's a lot of people here. And I just completely, I moved on to the next thing. Because I don't remember what's right next to it that just.
It was
caught my attention.
It was actually right next to it is where Pope John Paul is buried.
Okay, that's why it caught my attention. Yeah. So I completely until I got back to the hotel when I was looking online, kind of like you. And then it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I missed out on this. I've got to go back. Uh-huh. And the good thing is when I went back, they were having Mass. So I was able to see Mass up front. And
did you get communion?
No.
Well,
no.
I mean, if you're there for Mass.
You have to be very special.
Mass is open to everybody. Because they had like Mass at 5 and they were like, you just have to be there on time to go to Mass.
Well, when I was there, it was in the evening, they had these barriers to where you couldn't get in front of.
They had the barriers there too, but they only allowed people, the barriers were for people who got there late and didn't want to go, who wanted to just pop in for communion.
There's actual seats. And everyone had laminates over there.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, these people were special. I wasn't that special. But then I saw that they also have a choir on the side. And there was like this, it was closed off with gates. And they had a priest in there actually teaching people how to sing. Yeah, and it was after Mass. I mean, there's just a lot of things going on there. That place is so big that I guess you can kind of
You can fit a 747 in there. That's how big that is. Did you know that?
No,
St. Peter's Basilica is so big you could fit a 747 in there. That's how big it is.
Oh,
it can hold 60,000 inside that church.
That's enormous.
Yeah. Steves. I got it out of the Rick Steves book. but we should tell people what La Pietà is.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's a statue by Michelangelo.
Michelangelo statue.
And it's Mary holding Jesus after he's taken off the cross. And it's in marble. And the amazing thing about, first of all, Michelangelo is... it's unbelievable just how detailed his marble sculpture is. But did you read that Michelangelo felt he was divinely inspired when he carved out a marble? He would take a block of marble and then he said it was like unpeeling an orange to find out what God had put inside.
Whoa.
I know.
That's deep. Whoa.
I know. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Did you go to the statue of St. Peter where the foot is worn off?
Yes, where everyone's touching it. So that's what when I was standing for the Mass, I was standing right in front of them, but there was that barrier and I saw everyone would come up and I didn't. I'm like, oh, that in itself, that statue on its own is just amazing. Yeah. I mean, you put that anywhere else, but there's so much to see in there that you can walk right past it.
Yes.
But
I walked by, I was trying to find that particular statue because what we're talking
there's
about.
There's a saying, if you want to tell
you're them. Supposed to like kiss the foot or pray to the foot.
Or touch it or pray to it.
And so many people have been doing that for centuries, literally, that the foot is worn down. One foot doesn't even have toes anymore.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that's in St. Peter's.
It's bronze.
Yeah.
And it's all bronze. That's the amazing thing.
Did you go underneath the catacombs?
I did.
That's
yes.
pretty incredible.
Yeah, where you see all the past popes that have been buried there.
And St. Peter.
And St. Peter himself.
Who's that, Pope number one, by the way?
And you can't use your camera. Did you see that?
Yeah, we didn't use our camera, yeah.
But I saw some people trying to sneak pictures. I'm like, that is rude. There's signs posted everywhere that you can't take pictures down there, but that's pretty... I mean, the history that's down there, the amount of people.
Yeah. Mother Teresa's buried in that in St. Peter's Basilica just, also.
It's amazing. Now, did you get to go to the catacombs?
No, you know what? Okay.
I insisted that you go and you didn't go.
Well, it's weird because we ran out of time. We'd already been,
it's far away.
It's far away. Well, I will tell you, I went running a couple different times in Rome.
Whoa. Okay. So you were like living like the Romans.
Well, we had an apartment and I highly recommend that. I felt like we lived there. Like Sundays, we just went to the market and got food and brought it back and made dinner.
That's great.
Yeah. So I would get up in the morning, a couple mornings, and would run. One route would be around the Colosseum, around Circus Maximus, around that giant white sculpture, La Vittoriano, with all the steps, and then through the Forum, and then back to the Colosseum is where I would start.
That was your morning run?
That was my morning run. But one morning, I decided I wanted to go to the Appian Way, see if I could find it, the old ancient Appian Way. And I found like the modern road that follows the path of the Appian Way, which is one of the oldest roads in Rome. But I couldn't find like there's a portion of the Appian Way that still exists that was the original one. But anyway, it started right there at the catacombs.
That's how far out I ran. Yeah, you ran a lot.
That's how far out I ran. Like, oh, here's the catacombs that Michelle was talking about. So tell me, what did you see in the catacombs? What is that something that I missed?
Well, it just makes you realize how small humans were. Like the because everything, okay, so you go down maybe three stories, which is three sizes of, like, if you lay everyone in, that's the creepy thing. If you lay everyone horizontally, you go three levels down of people stacked on top of each other. Uh-huh. And that's how far deep they went to be able to carve out these, I guess, graves. I mean, you can call them graves, but the spaces were so small that you realize, I'm like, humans actually fit in that?
Really?
So, I mean, we were small people at some point, and then we just grew into this, I don't know, what we are now. But they would hold mass underground because it was illegal then.
Yeah.
And there was actually a ceremony, like you could actually see where they had a bigger space opened up for that. But I mean, it was just amazing going down there. Of course, you couldn't take pictures of that either, but you could see how they covered it in stones, the graves, and whoever was important had more marble or had more. But I mean, that was just, and it reminded me just kind of like what you saw underneath the Vatican, that's how, I mean, there's so much history behind how you're buried. Mm-hmm. There's so much importance into how you're buried, and it's looked upon in history as, I mean, we don't view it as that. I think it's kind of changed the way we look at it.
I mean, there's probably a little bit. You can see, too, now why the Catholic Church at one time, cremation was a bad thing.
Right. Because of that, you see that history and you see everything underneath the Vatican that everything's preserved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can see there's a history to everything. But I mean, that's cool that you got to live like the Romans. I mean, another thing that you pointed out and I missed out on was the beer at the Vatican.
Yes. Yes, back to the Vatican. Yes. Well, I went through, so there's beer in, I found beer once at the end of the Vatican Museum, and I wanted to bring up the Vatican Museum. First of all, I didn't really understand the significance of the Vatican Museum until I read up on it before, but basically when the Roman Empire fell, the church took over a lot of the treasures that the Romans had brought from Egypt and where all the other places in the world that they had pillaged.
I did not know that.
That's why there's a mummy in the Vatican Museum. In fact, the first part of the museum basically is stuff that the Romans had taken and the church preserved. But then there's so much art and stuff in the Vatican Museum. By the time I got to the Sistine Chapel, which I really wanted to see,
I was exhausted.
I was exhausted, and if I had just walked into the Sistine Chapel, I would have been blown away. Mm-hmm. And I hate that I had this experience, but by the time I got there, I mean, I had seen so many frescoes, so many paintings on ceilings.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming that I got to the Vatican Museum, Sistine Chapel, that it was just basically a large square room. There's nothing into it, a very small altar, all the chairs that the Pope sit in.
It looks bigger on TV.
Yeah, it wasn't that big. All the chairs that the Pope sit in when they elect a Pope, those were gone. We were all crammed in there. The security guards were telling us to move to the center, yelling at us, And I had read before that they consider the Sistine Chapel Michelangelo's paintings in there. And he's a sculptor. He wasn't really a painter.
Right.
To be the finest piece of art on the planet.
Right.
Which is a, you know, I mean, the finest, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's huge.
And unfortunately, like you said, I was so overwhelmed and been there in the museum so long by the time I got to the chapel.
Yeah, it is a long, long thing. And you know, even the line is long. I mean, when you get in there, you don't want to. I put it off for as long as possible. And that sounds sad because there's just too much there.
Yeah.
There's just too much, and there's so many.
It's overwhelming for even if you're really into everything, it would be overwhelming for you.
Yeah.
It's almost too much for one day to take in.
It is, and you'll read about it leading up to it, and it's an expensive ticket too.
Uh-huh.
It is, but
did you go on a tour or did you just buy the ticket to go in?
That's another thing. It's very confusing. There's so much out there. You have to look ahead and know what you're getting into.
Yes,
because you can pay up to $80 a person.
Or we paid, I think, $14.
Yeah, see, exactly. It's $80, or I mean, if you actually know what you're doing, you can pay $15.
Yeah, we just paid the small price to go in there, and we had read about it before in the Rick Steves book.
Right.
Rick
Which
Steves.
Is a great book. And he comes out with one is it 2 years that you said?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I highly recommend, if you're going to Rome, and I'm going to mention Rick Steves a little bit later, some things about Rick Steves and his books a little bit later, but the book, basically, we read about what we could see in there. That's how I knew there was a mummy before and why, everything.
I'm interested to know where you stayed, though.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you where I stayed in just a second. But but after we got through the Sistine Chapel, there's like a long hallway back to the beginning.
Right.
You can exit. There's another exit. You can exit right into St. Peter's.
Mm-hmm.
We went the long hallway back because we wanted to buy some items.
Yeah, some souvenirs.
And at the end, there was like a little cafeteria, and that's where they serve. That's one of the places they serve
beer
in there.
Okay.
Next to the coffee bar, there was beer there, and I was like, well, I'm going to get me a beer at the Vatican. And it was only €3.
Okay,
it was the
cheapest
beer in Rome.
That's what I was going to ask. It's cheaper to drink in Italy than it is to buy a soda.
Yes. Yes. It was €3 for a cold beer at the Vatican in the Vatican Museum.
Did your wife have some wine? You guys had wine, right?
Yeah, we had wine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But where we stayed, first time we've ever done this, is we got an apartment at Airbnb.
Okay.
And the reason we did that was because my parents were supposed to come and end up being 1/4 the price of 2 hotel rooms.
Whoa.
For a 2-bedroom apartment with a kitchen. And it probably would have been a little cramped with 4 people in there and 1 bathroom. But for 2 people, we were living like kings. And we stayed. Do you know there's that road that goes from the Colosseum right through the middle of the ruins of the Forum to, and I keep forgetting the name of the big white monument with the, the Vitriano. Okay, that big white monument. There's a road that goes between there. On one side is Trajan's Market, and there's like a big wall. We were right behind that wall. So that's where we stayed.
You were located very close to pretty much everything.
Yes. We could walk to every. We never had to take the subway. We only took a cab one time, and that's when we had the audience with the Pope. And we were going to be late, so we took the cab to get there instead of walking.
What time did you go see? Okay, because I saw your video and pictures, and I was so jealous of you. I mean, because you were very close.
Yes. So when we went to get our tickets for the audience, which is basically the Pope speaks. It's not a mass. He speaks.
Right.
The priest, it was at an American seminary.
I did walk into that. It's a small church, and it's like so quiet. When you're outside and there's so much going on, and I don't know if, I'm sure it was the same one. It was the house of we got it from the bishops, right? From the American bishops.
I don't know where my parents got it. So I don't know. We had to like go through this bus station up a hill next to the children's hospital, and there was an American seminary.
Yeah, I think, it's the same. Everyone speaks English.
Yes, everybody speaks English.
And there's
here.
Rosaries everywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you can take
a rosary
from a basket. Yeah, they have this basket full of rosaries that you can take. Plastic rosaries.
Okay, I'll take a rosary. So,
that's funny because there was a basket of rosaries everywhere you looked.
Yes. So the priest told us, there's a little orientation. He told us, get there at 7.
Oh, okay.
They open up at 7:30, and he told us where to sit also.
Oh, wow.
Don't sit in the middle. Sit near the edge, because the Pope Mobile will come right near the edge. So we sat right near the edge. We were in the front row at the very last seat on the edge, and the Pope passed us twice.
Gosh.
I could have given him a high five. That's how close the Pope was.
That's so awesome. But you got there, what, 2 hours early?
Yes, we did get there 2 hours early.
That's the key. See,
yeah.
I when I saw that video, I thought it was somebody else's. I couldn't believe you were that close.
Yeah, because we got there 2 hours. Because that, you know, and I'm glad we did. So
that's pretty cool.
Close. Yeah,
because they do have seats out. It's there's like plastic seats that they lay out, and there's these barriers where the Pope Mobile comes out through the back, and you can see, if you have to stand next to that. If you're next to a brown barrier, I guess you can see them.
Yeah.
But anywhere else, you probably just have to look at the screen.
Away.
They do have screens up.
Yeah, they had big Panasonic screens up. We were right in front of the screen. Did you see all the people in their wedding dresses?
Yes, that's another thing. Everybody in Italy has I don't know if they go afterwards, but you see a lot of brides down the street.
Yes, because, and I read about this too, what happens on Wednesday when the Pope has his audience. If you got married in the last 2 months in a Catholic church, and you have to bring your wedding, you have to write and verify that you did get married in a Catholic church, and it's been in the last 2 months. If you show up that day, and you get a ticket. You have to arrive in the attire that you got married in. So you see all these people in wedding dresses. We saw probably about 200 people, and they'll get a special blessing by the Pope. They walked right by us because we were on the edge, and it's beautiful to see all these brides and grooms walk by you in their dresses.
Yeah.
And they're, like I said, they're like 200. And it was kind of glamorous. It was really neat to see that.
It's like a movie.
It kind of was like a movie.
That's so cool.
Okay. So we went to the Vatican Museum.
Okay.
We went to one day in an audience with the Pope. And then we went back a third time, okay, to go to the top.
To the dome.
To the dome. And I highly recommend that.
The dome is an experience.
The dome is an experience to walk to the top of the dome.
Okay, so you said that there's better signage now, but I missed it the first, like I had a hard time finding it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find out, I had to ask for directions, but there's an elevator that you can take.
Yes, that will take you not all the way to the top, but to the first roof.
And you do want to take that one, because there's
Did you take that?
I think I took some stairs. I don't think I ever was in an elevator.
Okay, because it's $6 if you want to walk all the way top. It's $8 or 8 euros if you want to take the elevator halfway up.
Halfway up.
I highly recommend
the elevator.
Yes.
Because then there's a longer walk once you get to the, it's kind of like, okay, there was a little shop there too. They sold ice cream and they had souvenirs.
And they had beer there too.
I missed out on the beer.
Beer and wine up there.
I had the gelato, but okay, so.
Isn't it odd that you're eating gelato on the roof of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican?
Yeah, you could do that. Or that you're having beer?
Yes.
That you're having anything up there.
Yes.
That they have this whole store established, and you can get snacks, and you can sit there.
It's not super elaborate, but they're selling you snacks.
But I mean, they sell you snacks. You can sit there. You can take pictures. And you're taking pictures next to these huge statues that you see.
Yes. I have, by the way, all this stuff is, if you go to the blog, if you're listening to this, go to travelwithhawkeye.net, click on blog, and I have like photos of what we're talking about. Because the neat thing is, the first you go up and you walk inside the dome. There's a door, you're inside the dome, so you're inside the church.
Right.
And you're like, what? And that enough would be amazing.
Yeah, you're like, where am I? Is this it? This is it.
And you think that's enough. To me, I thought that's enough.
I thought that was it. I thought that was us getting up to the dome, and then they say, no, there's more steps.
So then you're walking actually between the mosaics that are inside the dome and the outer wall. There's like a staircase there that actually curves with the dome. And then you go to the very, very top where you can see out in Rome. And it's amazing.
The very tip of the dome that you think nobody ever goes to. It's
you're there.
Packed.
Yes. And it's so cool when you finally come out. If you're claustrophobic, I wouldn't. My wife did not enjoy it.
It's very narrow.
Yes.
It's long. It's
a lot of steps.
It's a lot of steps, and they're old steps, obviously.
Yes.
You never think there's an end.
Yes. And when you get to the top, it's very cool.
It is.
It's very cool.
It was worth it. I mean, everyone's trying to take turns because you want to stand in front of the basilica and take that picture next. And there's bars that'll keep you safe from jumping over.
Yeah, you're very safe. No one's,
But I don't know. Was it windy when you were up there?
No, it wasn't windy.
And
it was rather cool. It was like 86 degrees. So.
Oh. So it is a good time of year to go.
Yeah, I would say September was perfect weather.
That is awesome.
Okay, so we both went there. We also went to a place. I'd never heard of this until you told me about it, the Sacred Steps.
Yes.
I did not. I'm going to be on. First of all, we need to tell people what the Sacred Steps are.
The Scala Santa.
Yes.
So you, man, okay, so I don't even remember how I found out about it, but...
I'm surprised that should be on the top of everybody's list. It's so amazing. Just to at least see it.
I was at the Coliseum. I walked from the Coliseum to there, and you know that's a long
walk. Yeah, we did that walk too. Yeah.
Trying to find out where it was at. Yeah. But tell them the history.
Okay, so these steps were brought to Rome. The ancient Romans brought a lot of items to Rome. One of the things that the mother of Constantine, who was actually Christian, and before her son Constantine the emperor converted, she brought back the steps that led up to Pontius Pilate's residence.
Right.
And these are the steps that Jesus walked up before he was sentenced.
Yeah.
So these are very sacred steps. And these steps, you can actually travel up these steps. There's actually they put wood over the steps so the steps don't get worn out. But you have to go up the steps on your knees and pray at every step.
Right.
Did you go?
I went up all the way. I didn't know one was an option.
I did one step.
It is
very hard. It's hard to do.
It's very hard on your knees. And you know
what? It's a lot of steps.
I was thinking of that. Maybe some people go up every day if they live there and they have something that they're thankful for, or penitence, and it's free to go up.
Yeah. So, I mean.
I didn't know. When I got there, it was closed. I guess they closed for a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh.
So me and my parents, we waited outside. And there was this church across there. I don't know if you saw it.
A huge church.
St. John Lateran's church. Which is actually the Basilica of Rome.
Yes, that's the official residence of the Bishop of Rome, who is actually the Pope.
Yeah, yes. That's it. And people think it's the Vatican.
It's not, actually. It's this other church, which is humongous in itself.
Yeah,
with the giant statues of the apostles inside.
So that was another thing. When we're waiting there outside, and there's snacks and everything, they're selling everything outside, but the doors were closed, and we're like, okay, this is it. This is a big wooden door. It was just closed, so we're waiting until it opens, and it finally opens, and we're the first people standing there to go up these stairs. So I didn't know you could just do one stair and one step and walk away.
Well, I don't know if you could. I mean, I
didn't even know I could take pictures, because I'm like, at this point, I've been through the Vatican and they've told me not to take pictures. So when you took that picture, I thought that was amazing to see people going up.
Yeah.
But we went all the way up, and it hurt my knees for 2 days.
I don't doubt that. I mean, one step to pray on that hard wooden step was just amazingly painful. And the people going up, I mean, there are a lot of elderly people who are going up. And I can understand how that would hurt you for a couple of days. But I just think, you know, those are Pontius Pilate steps. Jesus walked those steps. I don't know why that's not, you know, I told a couple of people about it in Rome. They're like, what are you talking about? Never heard of this. I'm like, how could you not know about that? How did I not know about it until you told me about that?
Yeah. And and once you find it, you see that there's so much history about it on the internet, but it's not it's not at the forefront, but there wasn't a lot to that building either. You would think
it's
that there would be more. It's a very
building.
Small. That's all they have there. You're in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a chapel on top too, but it's not really much.
But
going
I wanted
there.
To use a restroom. I was looking for a restroom.
Not a lot of public restrooms in Rome.
No, there isn't. And that's how I ended up at the church, the Basilica, across the street. They did have bathrooms.
in Paris, there's bathrooms everywhere on the street. In Rome, it's hard to find restrooms sometimes.
I mean, there's also a lot of water fountains.
Yes. Did you see my on how to have a drink out of the
Missoni? I didn't know that's how you had a drink. Did you have to look that up?
I saw it somewhere, but yes, Rome is known as the city of water because they have these aqueducts. That's why Rome got so big in the ancient days, is they had these aqueducts that brought water in from the mountains, and they still bring in this water from the mountains, so there's an abundance of water. In fact, one of the aqueducts brings in water for the Trevi Fountain.
Oh, that's another thing. You got to enjoy the Trevi Fountain.
You didn't because it was under construction.
It was under construction, so did they leave it nice and pretty for you?
Yes, it was beautiful. It looked like it was brand new.
Wow.
Well, not under construction, under renovation.
Yeah,
it was. But they have these fountains, and once again, go to the blog and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's called the Nessoni, which is because it looks like there's a nose coming off a post.
Right.
And water is continuously coming out of this, spring water, fresh spring water is continually coming out of this. But if you put your finger on and block the path of the water, what happens is there's a little hole, and water then spurts out of the hole and becomes like a drinking fountain.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, and that's how the Romans, the Italians, it was like cold and very refreshing.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And they're everywhere.
There's over 2,500 of them, and they're tested 250 times a year for the freshness of the water. Oh. So the water is good out of those drinking fountains. Now, don't drink out of the Trevi fountain. That water is not clean.
Okay.
Not drinkable, potable, as they say.
So, when you went to Trevi Fountain, did you do the whole coin thing?
Yeah, we went back the last day to do the coin thing because they say if you throw a coin in the Trevi Fountain, it guarantees your trip back to Rome.
So, you're supposed to throw it over your shoulder.
Did not know that. They should have a sign up about that. Weren't you like shocked? I always thought the Trevi Fountain's pretty famous. One of the things that my impression of that before was it'd be on a big plaza and there'd be traffic all around. You have to cross.
Right.
It's not. It's like tucked in between.
You have to walk up to it.
You don't even know. I didn't even know it was there. I just saw like crowds of people. It's like tucked in between like a little teeny plot. The fountain's huge, but the fountain is basically the whole plaza.
Yeah, that is. And there's so many things around there too. There's so many little shops and that's the thing with Rome. And just like you say, you can walk past it and not even know that you walked past it.
You can be one street away from something very, very famous and not even know it because
you're
one street away.
And we probably
were. Yeah.
We probably missed out on a lot of things.
I remember one thing that I almost missed out on, and I saw it on the map, and I wonder, what is this? But there's like this huge like shopping area. And in the middle is another famous fountain, the Fountain of Three Rivers.
Okay, I didn't.
Okay,
I missed
and
out on
that used to be like a some type of like athletic stadium back in the days of the ancient Romans. They kind of now it's like filled with restaurants and shops all around it, and there's a huge fountain in the middle. We just walked by that the last day, and only looked in there because we saw a McDonald's. It was like free internet access.
What did you eat while you were there?
We ate a few times. We went to the market and cooked ourselves,
okay.
But mainly we just went to. We mainly went to just little family-run little restaurants that are millions of them everywhere. There's
and they
so
charge you to sit down.
Yes, they will charge you. A lot of restaurants, it will charge you to sit down.
Yeah, and that sounds odd, but there is a charge for that, or you can take
it to
go.
But you're not paying tips either.
No, you're not. You can stay as long as you want.
And they encourage that.
Yeah.
Or they don't discourage it.
Yeah.
And you know why that is? People stay for a very long time at restaurants
why is
in
that?
Europe. Is because people's apartments are very small. And if you were to entertain somebody, you would not have them over at your apartment.
Oh.
Because it's so small at your apartment. So you would meet them at a cafe.
Okay.
And that's where people socialize and meet. They don't hang at each other's houses or apartments because they're too small to do that. So really, the cafes, and there's so many of them, are like your living room.
Wow.
That's where you would hang out and have a cup of coffee and stuff and maybe read a book. And they don't discourage you to sit there for a very long time because that's what people do in Europe.
So did you have coffee and the cappuccino and the traditional stuff?
Yes. Yeah, we had
did it taste different from anything we have here?
Well, I don't drink coffee, so
okay.
I don't know. No,
you
we,
have nothing
we had our favorite little cafe that we went to for coffee.
Oh, you found a favorite cafe.
Yes. Yes. Where did you eat?
We would stop at random places.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I tried to use TripAdvisor a lot and would see, you know, what's popular, what's the feedback on here.
Uh-huh.
But I realized that there's a lot of, first of all, the pizza is very different.
Yes. You eat it with a fork and knife.
And you don't ask for pepperoni. You're going to get a veggie pizza.
Get the little pepperositos.
You
ask for salami.
Yes. You ask for salami.
If
it's not
pepperoni.
Pizza. Pepperoni, you're going to get red. You're going to get peppers.
Yes.
A dough full of peppers. I noticed that they would weigh the pastas there. Like everything was weighed.
Interesting.
For me.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Everything was weighed. It wasn't like, you know, I'll get the number two. I did have to have Burger King and a Pepsi. I know. It sounds ridiculous. And it was so expensive too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's definitely the sodas, the Diet Cokes. If you want a Coke, I think it was like €6. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, sometimes Coke is more expensive than wine.
Yeah, you can have a whole bottle of wine for €6.
Yeah.
And we had the fresh bread, and that was pretty cool. But we stayed at a hotel along Vatican Walls. And the only reason we stayed there was because breakfast was included, and we didn't know what we were getting into.
That's very nice. That is one of the things that I missed about the hotel is a lot of hotels will have breakfast for you.
And the breakfast was so good.
Yes, I've stayed at some really nice hotels, or just basic hotels that were clean and functional, and then the breakfast was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Just knowing that I picked my hotel because it was so close to the Vatican, and that was a reason that we were there. But even on our way to the Vatican, I don't know if you ran into this, there was a little other little church and other little like there was something
you mean there was more than one church in Rome
that you would see nuns come in and out of, and I'm like, well, I guess I can go in here and you would discover something else. But I'm sure there was some history to it, and it kind of bums me out not to know where I walked into and what I walked into. But that's like every block of Rome.
Well, and I found a church, and I read this in the Rick Steves book, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was like three blocks from where we were staying. It's St. Peter in Chains. Did you see that church in there or in the
book?
Maybe
I did. That's the thing. I wouldn't know.
Well, behind the altar, okay, is the chains that the Romans had around St. Peter. And those chains have been preserved. And there's actually two sets of chains that when he was in Jerusalem, and St. Peter was one of the first, was one of the apostles of Christ, you know, one of the 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. And then he came to Rome, and he's actually technically the first leader of the church, the first pope.
Right.
So if you ever hear of apostolic succession, you can go from the pope today, Francis, and trace him, you know, go back all the way to Pope number one, which was St. Peter.
Right.
And he's buried under the Basilica in Vatican City. But this one church on the other side of town has the chains that the Romans had him chained up on in Rome. And also there's two sets of chains behind the altar. And miraculously, they formed into one set of chains.
Wow.
And they're behind the altar of this church.
Did you get to see them?
Yes, they're in a glass case.
Okay.
And then, amazingly enough, also, just to the right of that is another statue carved by Michelangelo in marble of Moses. That's huge.
Michelangelo is everywhere.
He actually also he designed part of the city.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Capitolina area. There's an area right by the Forum that was like designed by Michelangelo as a city center at one time, and still is like a center of a lot of government offices.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so much history behind.
There's so much history. Okay, and then we're going to close out with the Colosseum. Did you go to the Colosseum?
Yes.
Did you take the guided tour for $30 or did you just go in by yourself?
We went by ourselves, and my dad got lost, and we got very upset with him because you can't communicate. That's another thing. I didn't turn on my phone while I was there, so we had to wait for him at the exit.
Yes, the phone thing is difficult because you don't want all these roaming charges
I would have hoped that he turned on his phone then, but we went on our own, and there was, again, so much to see and so much history everywhere you stopped. I mean, did you guys take the tour or did you
Someone suggested we take the tour of the Colosseum because you wouldn't have to wait in
line.
Too
much. Yeah.
And I didn't think our tour was very good because they didn't really show us that much. It was like $35. And then I saw all these other tour groups that were going upstairs and all this other things. And we ended up having to walk upstairs by ourselves.
Oh,
and part of our ticket also was for the Forum.
Yeah, underneath.
No, like next door, all the ruins.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Oh, see, I didn't go there.
Oh, that's amazing. And that's like the whole center of Rome. That's where like Julius Caesar and
I looked
Augustus
over there and I wondered if that was it.
Yeah, that's the center of ancient Rome. Yes, that's pretty amazing. See, you need to go back and check out the Forum.
Yeah.
Here's a couple things that I learned on the tour, of the Colosseum.
Okay.
Number one, and you can still see, if you can look, they're faintly still there. Each arch was actually a gate and they're numbered in Roman numerals.
I didn't realize until you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, I put that on my Instagram. Yes, there were gate numbers. And the second thing is the concourse areas is called a vomitorium. And it was, yes, it's called the vomitorium. And people mistakenly think the Romans, their vomitoriums were areas that they would like expunge their stomachs and so they could eat more at feast. No, it was actually a way to get people out of Colosseums and arenas very quickly, and they kind of invented these concourses. Now every arena does it, but it got invented by the Romans, and the word vomit comes from that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing before we go here is I want to talk about the Rick Steves book, okay?
Okay.
I had gotten you this book as a gift in 2015 when you went.
Yes.
And you loaned it to me in 2017.
Yes.
And it was really, really good. I mean, there was so much in there. We saved a lot of money because we ended up not taking tours because all that information was in the book.
Right, right.
But I have to say, I have a love-hate relationship with Rick Steves.
Okay,
because
do tell.
I got a book a long time ago called Europe Through the Back Door, and it's how to like backpack across Europe. It was a gift to me after I got out of college. And there was a place in there that he suggested you go to in Italy called the Cinque Terre, which is the Five Lands. They're five little communities all linked by a hiking trail and train. You can't drive from one city to the next. It's on the coast, the Mediterranean coast. And I thought, wow, I want to go there. Rick Steves says it's incredible. When I got there, the town was overrun with people who had the exact same book.
Oh.
And it ruined it. It basically ruined it. And I actually asked him about this. And I think he said he doesn't put that in his book anymore. So I've kind of always thought, in a lot of ways, you know, he's telling people to go to certain places and everybody ends up going there and it kind of ruins it. But in Rome, there's so much to see that a book like Rick Steves is really good because Rome is a humongous city of millions of people and there's so much history and, you know, you're not sending everybody to the same place.
Right.
And I loved his book and I have to give him props because the book was incredible. Rick Steves' Guide to Europe. And the place that we stayed, they had some other guides also that I looked through and none was as good as Rick Steves.
Really?
Yeah. The history that he has in there. You can do self-guided tours almost everywhere.
And it's very thorough.
Most places are free. Like, you can go to St. Peter's Basilica for free.
Right.
Or you can pay for a guided tour.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that they say in the guided tour is in the book, you know. So you can save yourself a lot of money in Rome by using his book.
Yeah, there's a lot of tips in there, too. You know, like, I didn't know about the tables that you needed to... Because I'd go sit down and not know that I'm going to get charged.
Yeah.
But there's also, oh, by the way, the Vatican, they have metal detectors.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I know.
I thought that surprised me.
Yes, that was a surprising thing also. So anyway, if you're going to Rome, I'd highly suggest that book. And like I said, I wasn't a fan of some of the past books because I felt like it overran some places. But like, there's so much in Rome. You can't see.
What do you want to go back to see?
You know what? I want to go. I don't know if I would go back to Rome anytime soon, only because I felt like I saw everything I wanted to see,
right.
And there's other places I want to go to, and our time is so precious and limited. But you need to go back and go to the Forum.
Yeah, evidently I missed out on the biggest part.
Well, like I said at the very beginning of this, two people could go and spend, 3 days in Rome. We spent both, you were there a week.
Yeah.
We were both there a week. But you could spend 3 days in Rome and see totally different things.
Right.
There's so much to see there.
That's awesome.
But anyway, thanks for hanging out with me on my
podcast. No, that was awesome. I can't wait to go back. It's time to go back.
So once again, before we leave here, I want to mention travelwithhawkeye.net. Check out the blog because all the places we talked about are going to be on the blog. I've got videos that I took. And so you can see them there and links to different places. You can check them all out on the blog. And this is the Travel with Hawkeye blog. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. Michelle Rodriguez, thank you for being part of it. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Mishrod.
Correct.
You can follow her there. And remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. Thank you for listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.